Welcome to installment 82 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments. We will once again discuss prohibition number 356, the prohibition against a husband remarrying his wife after he has divorced her and she has remarried, and then her second husband divorces her or dies. And also we will discuss positive commandment number 216, the commandment of Yibum, for a man to marry his childless sister-in-law. As we discussed yesterday, the prohibition of machzik grushasei, about taking back one's wife and remarrying, applies only when there has been another marriage in between. For example, if Reuven married Leah, and then they were divorced, should Reuven decide to remarry Leah, he is allowed, and actually our sages encourage it. However, after Leah has already been married to another man, after her divorce to Reuven, she has, for example, become married to Shimon, and afterwards Shimon should divorce her, or Shimon should pass away, and she is once more a single woman and free to marry, she is free to marry anyone except Reuven, even though Reuven married her before and previously would be considered a preferred marriage partner. Once she has been married to someone else in the interim, she is forbidden to anyone else. One explanation of this, it could be, as we mentioned before, that once the tie, the bond, the internal bond of the soul between a husband and wife has been broken, and been completely broken, not only through divorce, but by her reconnection, her marriage to another man, this bond has been shown to be completely severed and can no longer be renewed. The second commandment of today's portion, positive commandment number 216, is the commandment of Yibum. The Rambam explains that this was just commonly known in English as levirate marriage, or the law of a childless brother-in-law, is as follows. That if a husband and wife should live together, and the husband should die without having any children, at that point, his wife is no longer considered to be a regular widow. She is considered to be a yavama. She is zokuk liyibum. She becomes automatically subservient, so to speak, that her marriage to her husband gets passed on, so to speak, to her brother-in-law. That since there is no descendants for this man, his brother is required to make his brother's name stand up. For example, if Reuven was married to Leah, and Reuven has a brother Shimon, Reuven passes away without any children. In that case, Shimon is required to go and make his brother's name survive for all of the ages by performing the mitzvah of Yibum. Yibum is that he will go and marry his sister-in-law. He will go and marry Leah, who was previously married to Reuven. This is in spite of the fact that previously Shimon would be forbidden to go and marry Leah. Let's say, for example, that Reuven had had children with Leah, and then Reuven passed away. Leah is considered a sister-in-law, and a sister-in-law is one of the forbidden relations in the Torah, and Shimon in such a case would not be allowed to go and marry Leah. However, in such a case, as where Reuven did not have any children, there is a special, unique law of the Torah that Shimon is not only allowed to go and marry Leah, but he is actually required to go and marry Leah, which is the mitzvah of Yibum. The reason for this is given in the verse, and I shall quote from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, verse 5, that when brothers live together and one of them dies childless, the dead man's wife shall not be allowed to marry an outsider. At least not at first. This doesn't say in the Chumash, when it says that she is not allowed to marry an outsider, this is only until Yibum or Chalitza, as we will soon explain, has been performed. And the verse continues, her husband's brother must cohabit with her, making her his wife, and thus performing a brother-in-law's duty to her. The firstborn son whom she bears will then perpetuate the name of the dead brother, so that his name will not be obliterated from Israel. In other words, the verse explains explicitly why is it that Hashem went and decreed such a commandment in order that the dead man, in a case we described previously, Reuven, that his name should not be lost from the Jewish people. As has been explained, that a person's existence in the world is perpetuated in two ways. His existence in the world is both a physical one and a spiritual one. His spiritual existence is the soul, and his physical existence is in the body. Once a person dies, the eternal aspect of the soul survives forever in the spiritual realms. However, this is only a spiritual reminiscence of his previous existence. What about a physical reminder? Physically, the body rots away and disappears. How can a person leave a concrete physical trace of himself in the world? This is through a child, through leaving descendants. That once the parent has passed away, the child is a living embodiment of the physical existence of the parent. In such a case where Reuven passes away without leaving any children, Reuven's spiritual existence, his soul, is eternal and still survives. But his physical existence has disappeared. It has been obliterated from the earth. There is no physical reminiscence of his existence in the world. And therefore we have the mitzvah of Yibum, that the brother is required to make the memory, a physical memory of his brother, survive in the world. And therefore, even though he is normally prohibited from marrying his sister-in-law, he is the closest one in blood to his brother, and therefore he is the one to make his brother's name stand up. The Talmud mentions this commandment of Yibum among things in a general statement the Talmud makes, that everything that God has made prohibited to the Jewish people, he has taken something just like it and made it allowed. It says, for example, that he prohibited to them the eating of chazer, the eating of pork, but he went and allowed the eating of the fish called shibuta, where the brains of the shibuta fish taste exactly like chazer. So too, the Gemara says, in our case, the Torah made a sister-in-law forbidden. But nevertheless, there is at least one case when a brother-in-law can marry a sister-in-law. And that is the commandment of Yibum. The Rambam mentions that Yibum is not something to be considered like a separate marriage. And the Rambam says in his legal code, Yad HaChazaka, and I shall quote, Umina teira ena tzorech l'kadesh yivinte, that from biblical law, a man is not required to betroth, to perform a marriage ceremony with his sister-in-law. Shizu ishtehi. It's already considered his wife. It's automatically considered. In our case, Leah is already automatically considered the wife of Shimon. Shehiknu Eisa Lamina Shamayim. That from heaven, she has been shown that she is required to be together with Shimon. And this is the idea of Yibum. Therefore, once they live together as man and wife, she is considered completely married to him, and once it has been consummated. The Torah does provide an alternative in the case that the woman, the Yavama, does not want to go and become married to her brother-in-law. This alternative is called Chalitza, which is actually the commandment which we will be discussing in tomorrow's section. To briefly explain, that normally when there would be a regular marriage between a man and woman, the way the marriage is severed is through a divorce, through a get. In this case, she is considered, as we just mentioned, sort of married to her brother-in-law, but not completely married. In order to sever this bond, a divorce is not sufficient. A divorce will not help. There is a special ceremony which is indicated in the Torah, the commandment of Chalitza, as will be discussed in depth tomorrow. An interesting fact about the mitzvah of Yibum is that in effect it is not practiced today. The reason for the lack of observance of the mitzvah of Yibum is because of the interpretation of our sages, or more recent sages, who have said that the mitzvah of Yibum is just as its name indicates, it is a mitzvah, it is a commandment. That in itself, the relationship between a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law is an incestual one, and it's one forbidden by the Torah. However, in the case where it is necessary to go and stand up to make a reminiscence of the memory of the brother, in that case it is allowed, but only for the sake of the mitzvah. Our sages of previous generations have pointed out that as the generations have declined in their spiritual commitment and their spiritual awareness, it is virtually impossible for someone to have in mind only the mitzvah, only the commandment. A person might feel a physical attraction as well. And once there is a person's own personal feelings of physical attraction involved, then we're back to the original prohibition of incest. That just like a brother-in-law is not allowed to marry a sister-in-law normally, once his own feelings have become involved and an intention is present other than the pure intention of the mitzvah, then the commandment of Yibum is no longer in practice because there's a corresponding prohibition of incestual relationships between a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law. And therefore, as a practical matter, Yibum is really not practiced today and has not been done so for several hundred years. There are a few exceptions of Sfardish HaChachamim in particular, that among Sfardim it has in some cases been practiced by extremely holy people who have set upon themselves that they can perform the mitzvah of Yibum without going and sacrificing the holy intentions, and such people have in the past occupied themselves in the mitzvah of Yibum. However, as a practical matter today, it is something which is not done. The alternative, of course, as we mentioned, is Chalitza, which will be discussed in tomorrow's section.
Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs.
For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.